Those of you can will, let's stand. I'm going to read from 2 Peter. I'm going to read, I know it's 22 verses here. And so I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's look at it like this, that I'm helping you catch up on your Bible reading. Amen. So let's look at it like that. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Now I want you to notice verse number 1, because it sets the stage for the entire chapter. But there were false prophets also among the people. Now, that would be referring to Israel. Then look what it said. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. That's the church now. Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, that sets the stage for everything else to be said in the chapter, verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery. Yeah, you ought to make that one note. Having eyes full of adultery. And know this now. And that cannot, no matter what they do, they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Now, pay attention to verse 17. This will be our text verse. We'll be back to it shortly. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh and through much wantonness those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. In other words, the crowd that cleaned up their own life. Verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Now get this now. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now grab this one now. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. God said it would have been better if they had never heard about Jesus. It had been better if they had never heard about him dying on the cross. Now look at verse 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. That's a pretty stunning passage, isn't it? Be seated, if you will. Let me have a word of prayer with you. Then I'll try to give you a little bit from this passage. Father, I'm coming again to you now. And Father, I need you desperately bad. And Father, I know that that's not information to you. I know, Lord, you said in your Bible that without me you can do nothing. And Lord, I know that by experience. God, we've tried to do things on our own and never did work out. But I'm asking you, Father, tonight that you may shower me with the mercies of our God, that you'd form in my little mind the very thoughts that you want to give out. And Lord, we've tried to study, tried to direct our mind. But Lord, we understand that you're in charge and that, Lord, you've got to do the leading. You've got to do the directing and the guiding. If anything eternal is to be done here tonight, Lord, to the best of my ability, Father, I submit everything I am, my mind, my heart, my body, soul, but to everything about me, Lord, to the best of my ability, I submit it to you. And Lord, I'm asking you to take, Father, this unworthy servant and let me be your spokesman. Lord, let me say the words that you want to be said. But Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would go far beyond, Lord, anything that we could do and open the hearts and minds, Father, of those that you want to speak to. Please, God, do a work here tonight. We'll honor you for what you do. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so now, I want to give you a couple of things, and then I want to come back. We'll come back to our verse. Now, look back, if you would, please, in verse number 17. Look at verse number 17. Now, it's important you see what I'm about to show you. It is important you see what I'm about to show you. Look what it said. It said, these are wells without water, and are clouds carried with a tempest. Notice the next phrase now. Notice now, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Do you notice that now? Do y'all notice that? Do you look at it carefully? That Bible did not say to whom the M-I-D-S-T is reserved. That Bible didn't say midst, M-I-D-S-T. If it said M-I-D-S-T, it would mean to whom they are in the middle of. You understand? Other words, to be in the midst of something would be you're right in the middle of it. But the Bible said to whom the M-I-S-T. Did you see that? And I believe every word of this book, don't you? I believe every word of it is just exactly the way God wanted it to be. And he said, whom the midst, M-I-S-T, of darkness is reserved forever. Now, I'm going to try to elaborate on that when I get to it. But now, let me give you the title, then let me build to it. Will y'all hear what I'm about to say now? What I want to try to bring out tonight, if God will help me, is this idea, a taste of forever. Now, think about that. Do I believe there's a heaven? Yeah. Do I believe there's a hell? Yeah, I do. Well, so does God ever give a taste of forever to people on this side of eternity? And does God ever allow a taste of forever to be involved in their life? Now, when I use that phrase, a taste of forever, you do understand that there's a negative and there's a positive, right? All right, so let's take the positive first now. All right, so here I am, and here most of you all, not everybody, you're saved by God's grace, and you truly know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Has God given you a taste of forever? Did not that Bible say that I am to taste and see that the Lord is gracious? Did it say that? Well, if God said that, and he did, then the Lord is saying, Larry, what I want to give you is a taste of forever on the good side. Amen. So let's think about that just a second now. Try this verse out. For now you've heard it from your childhood. The Bible said, but as it is written, I have not seen, neither have ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God had prepared for them that love him. Is that right? All right, so let's think about that. So God said, eyes not seen, ears not heard. Oh, brother Lewis, it's untold what God has got waiting on us. Yeah, but let's grab a hold of the next verse. The one right after that verse. Are y'all hearing me now? Listen to what he said. Say, now let me give it again. So I have not seen, ears not heard, neither has said in the heart of man the things that God had prepared for them that love him. But the next verse said, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Do you understand what that means? That means this. Yes, sir. God has got things prepared for us that will never enter your mind. But in the Holy Spirit, God has started showing those little things to us along the way. Can I say this? Whatever God's got stored up for me, I will not be shocked. I will not, you know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God has been working in my little heart, been showing me things from God, been showing me who he is, been showing me the glories of heaven, letting me feel the glory of God down in my heart. You know what God's doing? God is saying, Larry, taste this, son. God is saying, Larry, open your mouth, son. I want to give you a tablespoon of what's coming up ahead. So what God does, he gives us a foretaste, neighbor, of what's ahead for us that are saved. Well, let's take that a little bit farther. So y'all remember this, don't you? If I said, give me that verse that names the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, it said, but the fruit of the Spirit, remember that? And you remember that doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit, but it says fruit singular, right? All right. So let's think about that. But the fruit of the Spirit is, what is it now? Help me a little bit. Love. Joy. Peace. Well, let me ask you this. Do you reckon they'll be in glory? Do you reckon that love will be in heaven? Huh? Well, what did 1 Corinthians 13 say? He said, and you know what now? By the faith, hope, and charity, by the greatest of these is charity. In other words, see, here's why. Charity is going to endure forever and ever and ever. Oh my goodness, help me here, Lord. The Bible said in First John 4 and 8 and verse 16, it said this. It said both, and I'm not quoting them correctly, but it said this. It said, God is love. Remember that? Both those verses said clearly that God is love. Wait a minute now. So when I got born again, what came to live inside me? Did God not come to live inside me? Did the Son of God in the person of the Holy Spirit, did he not come to take up residence in me? So if God is love, then love came to live in my heart. So, Brother Wells, when I got saved, I just fell in love with everybody. Yeah, but let me tell you a little bit about that. Do you understand that what God just did for you? God said, son, I know you just got saved, and you won't know to put this title to it, but I am giving you a taste of what's waiting on you. Amen. So it's given us a taste of forever. Love, joy, and peace, and so on. So now, let me give you a couple more. All right, so let's think about this now. So when I got born again, I got saved by God's grace. Did I get forgiven? Did I get forgiveness? I mean, did the Lord wash my sins away? Oh, yeah. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I got forgiven. Oh, my. But Peter said this. He said to him, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Are y'all hearing that? Son, when I came that night as a little teenage boy to get saved, I did not understand what God was doing. But I had a truckload of filth and garbage and trash in me. And what God did, he took the blood of Jesus and he washed me from my sin. Amen. Took me out of that. Wait a minute now. Well, now, you say, well, where are you driving? Well, let me ask you this. Will there be any sin in heaven? Oh no, did not the Bible make this clear? That nothing that defileth shall enter therein? Is that not what Revelation said? So up yonder in glory land, there'll not be one defiled. Brother Wells, well, we'll have a chance to get right with God. You better get right with God before you take a chance on getting there. Amen. So the idea out there is this. So I got my sin forgiven. So let's go. And you know what God's doing, Larry? You know how you felt when you got forgiveness? You know that cleansing you felt? You know that freedom from all that bondage of sin that was connected to you? You remember that, Larry? Yes, dear Lord. He said, Larry, what I just did for you, I gave you a taste of what's waiting on you in glory. I gave you a taste of heaven. Amen to God. Y'all hearing that now? That's what God did. Forgiveness of my sin is a taste of what I'm going to live in for eternity. Amen. So let me try a couple more things. So what about this one now? So now my seal, and now you don't know, but I know, but are we that are saved, are we sealed by the Holy Spirit on the day of redemption? Are we? So that means this. I've got the Holy Spirit inside me. Right? So let me ask you this. So, did not Jesus say this? But he said, when the Comforter's come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Y'all remember that? So now then, I've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside me. So when I either die or the rapture takes place, so does the Holy Spirit just take Exodus from me and sit over yonder somewhere? Now I'm on my own now. Oh, no. He is in me forever. He is with me forever. So that blessed Holy Ghost of God, oh my goodness. Now y'all listen, Brother Wells. I hope I get to where I'm going. But y'all remember when Abraham sent Eliezer to get a bride for Isaac? Y'all remember that little story? Well, you remember this now. So she has never seen him. As a matter of fact, she has probably never seen Abraham. She's never seen Isaac. She's never seen any of that clan. Not any. But when she's on that camel of grace headed back, neighbor, where Abraham lived, are you hearing me now? Yeah. And as she draws near, she saw this fella walking out in the field. Yeah. And somehow she knew something was different about him. She said, Eliezer, who is that? And representative of the Holy Spirit said, Rebecca, that's him. That's the one. Now look here. See, without her understanding who he was, there was something inside her that let her know that he was the one. Thank God. I've got the Holy Ghost of God inside my heart. When I see him, I'll not have to have somebody say, now Larry, I'd like to introduce you to the one that saved you. No need of that. I've already known him. I've already met him. He already lives inside me. You know what God did? God gave me of a taste of forever when he saved me by the grace of God. Has God given you a taste of forever? Or is your religion just all mechanical? Is what you call salvation, is it all mechanical? Or has God given you something in your heart that lets you know that it is real, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real? Amen. So now, are y'all okay? All right, so now I'm going to investigate the other side of that for a moment. So we see there is a taste of forever for us that are saved by God's grace. And by the way, I am not saved by feelings. I'm saved by the grace of God through faith in Him. Amen. So Brother Wells, so what I do about these feelings? Well, I know what you do about yours, but I'm going to try mine. And if they happen to be the right thing, I'm going to shout about it. Amen. Why? Because God has put the witness of the Holy Ghost of God in me, and I think I know His voice when I hear His voice. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, bless His name. So now then, let's take a look at the opposite side. All right, so we're going to look for a moment about a taste of forever on the other side. Well, now, does God give people on this earth a taste of forever, neighbor, in the negative? Y'all know what I mean by that? All right, so let's think about that a moment. All right, so now, let's work our way to that, then I'll show you a couple of things. All right, go back to verse number 1, if you would. And so, let's establish, first of all, the fact of these false teachers. They do play a part in it. So let's look at the fact of false teachers. All right, verse number 1. But there were false prophets among the people, that's Israel, even as there shall be false teachers among you, that is the church. Now, I want you to see this now. Look at it carefully. Notice now the fact of these false teachers, and you can see somewhat of how they are. So, verse number 1 again. So, here they are, these false teachers among... Well, wait a minute now. So, what does that idea mean? If the Bible said there are false teachers among you, what does that mean? That means somehow or the other they creep in. Somehow or the other they got... Are y'all hearing me now? Yeah. I'm not trying to get you to doubt anybody. I'm not trying to get you to question anybody. But I'm going to give you an example. I've known that there's a couple of little guys that I've known. I've known them since they were this high. I mean, they were not above 5 years old when I met them. And they were in a solid fundamental church. Solid fundamental church. I mean, I'm talking about one that took a stand against sin and wickedness. I mean, they're right. And I've known these kids. And neighbor, I would have said, those kids will never, never forsake God. But you know what? One of those boys now is pastoring a church. And here's what he said. Raised up in a solid fundamental word. And he said, I don't think that King James Bible is right. I think there's a better translation than the King James. Now, here's what you see. See, right in the middle of fundamentalism, Satan was molding a false teacher. Better hear me, buddy. If there's something in your heart that rebels against solid fundamental teaching, Satan just may very well be, neighbor, working you and trying to mold you into a false teacher that doesn't propagate the truth of God. You better hear that, and you better hear it well. Because if there's something in your heart that said, I don't want that old stuff, I don't want that old stuff, it's too old folky for me. I don't want that. I want this new stuff. You better remember this. There was a guy one time that tried to kill a great king with a new sword. Didn't work out so well. Do y'all hear that? Did y'all get that application? Well, may I move on? So what I'm saying tonight is this. False teachers can be right among you and you not even know it. But notice something else, what it said. It said, they're among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. So here's how they're going to work. They're not going to come in with a placard and hold it up and say, I don't believe the King James. They're not going to say, I don't believe the virgin birth. They're not going to hold a placard and say, I don't believe the resurrection of Christ. Oh, no. What they will do is they will say, what do you think now? Now, don't tell nobody we're talking about this. But what do you think about? Do you really believe that resurrection? Do you believe that a man can be saved without believing the resurrection? You know, I have trouble believing that anybody could come out of the grave. Y'all hearing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. So if somebody denies that, so are they a heretic? Are they a false teacher? Yes. You don't have to bow your head and you say that. They're a false teacher. So here's what I'm trying to say. So here's how they do. They're coming in very privately. They'll come in and they'll start making friends with you, buddying up with you, and then they'll start spitting out their venom. Are you arguing now?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And you privately shall bring in. You get this one now? Anybody remember the next two words? Damnable heresies. So whatever they're propagating, Brother Ben, whatever they're propagating has damnation connected to it. You better hear that. I mean, you better hear that well. You better hear that well. If you're listening to somebody on television, that neighbor don't believe the Word of God, you better know this. They are sowing damnable heresies in your heart and mind. And somewhere down the road, you'll make your choice to go with that crowd. And you'll be sowed up in damnable heresies forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Am I okay with y'all? All right, so watch now. Look at verse number 2. I want you to see this. I'll try not to be boring to you, but I want you to look at verse number 2. So verse 1 establishes false teachers, right? Right? So now, look at verse number 2, and don't try to explain it away. Take it for what it said.
Yeah.
And many. So what does that word many mean? What does that word many mean? That means y'all just one or two. No, that's not what the word many means. Look what it's saying now. And many shall follow their pernicious, that means their destructive, damnable ways. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Now, here's why I want to emphasize that. Listen a moment. Here's why I want to emphasize it. If you don't know it, this generation is eat up with false teachers.
Right.
And eat up, yeah. And you know what's making that way, Mike? Social media and the internet and access to information that we've never had access before. And it makes easy for somebody that's a false teacher to propagate his error. That true?
Yeah.
That true? All right, now look what it said. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. See that? So here's what that says. That says this. If you think that a false teacher is just going to say, I don't believe that, and then nobody follow him. No. You got a false teacher. He is like a sodomite. He is not going to multiply unless he recruits.
Right.
Say it now. Exactly. So he's got to recruit somebody to follow his error and his ways. So does he have success? What does verse 2 say? Many shall follow their pernicious way. Now let's think about that. Are y'all hearing me now?
Yeah.
All right. So I'll give you an illustration. In 1999, Joel Osteen, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember all the facts here, but Joel Osteen's daddy started a church in Texas. Y'all hear me now? The membership in 1999 was 5,000. That's a pretty good outfit. But Joel took it. You say, he's a nice guy. So is Satan when he wants to be. Come on now. Yeah. See, when somebody tells me that the Jews and Islam and Christians are all going to go to the same heaven no matter what, that man's a heretic. Jesus said clearly, except you're born again, you cannot see nor can you enter the kingdom of heaven. When he tells Larry King, oh, I believe the sodomites will make it in heaven. God, yes, God loves the gays and they'll be in heaven. No, they will not be. Practicing sodomite will have no place in glory land. Now, an ex-sodomite, Matt, an ex-sodomite, if he repents of his sin and trusts Christ, he'll have a place. Amen. Wait a minute now. So, I know he's a heretic. Do you know the last census in 2024 that his group has exploded to 50,000. What about this one? The Jehovah's Witness was started in 1870. Charles Tess Russell, he didn't like the fundamental doctrine, so he's going to start his own group. Come on now. So he started his own group in 1870. Did you know the last census? The last census? And I believe it was 2024. There are 8.8 million. How did false doctrine explode that quick? How did false doctrine explode? Well, the Lord said that big men had fallen. Do you know why it explodes? Let me tell you why it explodes. So while I'm preaching the gospel, I'm trying to tell you about Jesus. I'm trying to tell you about being saved. There's little voices saying, oh, you don't have to listen to him. He's radical. Oh, don't think over this him. Just think what you're going to do tomorrow. Boy, we go have a time tomorrow. Yeah, see, you've got the powers of darkness that jump up in your lap to try to keep you from hearing what God is trying to tell you about God. But the false teachers don't have that. The false teachers have the voices. Now, boy, don't that sound good? That is so logical, I can't believe nobody wouldn't believe that. Don't hear it? So, the Bible says that those false teachers are going to go madly in this hour. Some of y'all are old enough to remember this. You guys remember Sun Young Moon? Yeah. Who is he? Yeah, he's a Moony. I couldn't. And you know what, Mike, do you remember that crowd? Can you believe that crowd would go that fast but saying, would you like a flower? Would you like a flower? Will you give a donation to our, and what it was, they wouldn't say Moonies, but would you give a, who would have thought that they would have exploded like they did? You know why? Because there is an enemy of our soul that's behind them, that's pushing them, that's encouraged people to believe their error. All right, so enough said. Now, I want you to go verse number nine. And I'll have to skip 20% of this gift. But I want you to go over some mind. Hear me now. So I know what they are. I know what they're doing. Let me give you a Bible verse. The Bible said this. If they speak not according to this word, Isaiah 8:20. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Son, if they're not telling me what God says in this word, it's because they don't have light, and you better steer clear from the darkness that wants to drag people to hell. Right. Amen. All right, so, are y'all with me? All right, so now, got a big question for you. All right, so we know something about these guys. We know they're false teachers. We know they're propagating damnable heresies. But what about those that follow them? Well, they're going to end up neighbor the results of damnable heresies. Well, but now let's ask this big question: Brother Wells, what's going to happen to those guys? What's going to happen to them? Are y'all listening to me now? All right, would you dare look at the Bible? Would you dare establish what you think about that on what God says? Would you dare? All right, look at verse number nine. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Number one, God said, here's what's going to happen to them. They are reserved. And by the way, if they're reserved by God, they ain't going to get lost. I mean, they're not going to get lost in the shuffle. God knows who they are, and they're going to be brought. They're going to be brought to the place where God said they are reserved under the judgment of the great day. Are y'all hearing that? There's not a false teacher that's propagating damnable heresies that would ever go to heaven. Unless some miraculous way they repent of their sin and repent of their error, they're not going to go. They're reserved under judgment to be punished. Are y'all hearing me? And now, don't answer this question. How many of y'all said that maybe a son or daughter? When we get home, when we get home, you're going to pay for what you did. And you rolled in the door, and the cat got its tail hung in the screen door and screamed to high heaven, and you forgot about what you said. But they haven't, and they're saying, cat save me. Cat help me. They didn't remember now. God never forgets. God never. All right, look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. I'm going somewhere with this. Now look at verse number 12, if you would. So verse number 12. But these as natural brute beasts, that means people that ain't got no sense, don't have no logic in them. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly. That means not a cell remains. Utterly. That means nothing remains. Shall utterly perish. How? In their own corruption. Look, drop down to verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. God said, this is what's going to happen to them. Now, drop down to verse number 17. Drop down to verse 17. Look what it said. I'm talking about what's going to happen to these false teachers. The Bible said this now. These are wells without water. I don't want to go in that. Clouds that are carried by tempest, who in the midst of darkness is reserved forever. So whatever that means, listen to me now. Whatever that means, God said it's a part of the judgment of those that are propagating error. It's a part of the judgment of those that are not going to listen to God, and they're going to try to create some false doctrine that's going to cause somebody damnation and go to hell without God. God said, I've reserved for them now, listen now, the midst of darkness is reserved for them for what? Forever. All right, so let's think about this now. I want you to listen to me now. So here's my take. Here's my take. Whatever the midst of darkness is, it is a taste of forever to them that don't know God. It is a taste of forever. All right, so let's explain. Come on now, listen to me more. See that word, that verse 17, see the word mist? See a mist? All right, so, ain't none of y'all got no, you got a blanket. Borrow a blanket. Amen. Oh, that'll work. What's your first name?
John.
Come on, John, stand up.
Hey.
Now, can you see that crowd?
Yep.
You like what you see?
Yep.
Can you see him now?
Nope.
You know why? Because he has been enshrouded with a blanket. See, that word mist means to enshroud. It means to envelop. Are y'all hearing me now?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, goodness, goodness. Thank you, John.
Sit down.
Thanks, sis. All right, I want you to think about that a moment. God said, to the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Now, think about this now. So, what if, it ain't no what if. And so, God said, here's what's going to happen to them. I'm going to envelop them with a darkness, supernatural darkness, that's going to be enveloping them like a shroud, covering them, and they can't see. Oh, y'all listen to me today.
Yeah.
So what if I've been on a desert. I'm dry. I'm starving. I'm going to pass out from a lack of water. And so, there it is. There it is. There that pool. And there's a little sign there that says, poison water. And I say, I don't care. I need it. So you know what happens? I let the information that was available, I let myself be enshrouded by something that wasn't true. And I drunk it anyway. I wonder how many in our day have been enshrouded by darkness, supernatural darkness. How could any man say, Jesus Christ is not the Son of God? How could anybody say, I don't believe Jesus ever rose from the dead? How could somebody like Ted Turner say this? Ted Turner said this years ago. He said, I am not a wretch, and I don't need nobody to die for me. I am not a wretch. Y'all hear that? How could anybody say that? You know, when Obama was in office, he boldly blasphemed God's name. Boldly he did. Nobody said anything to him about it. How could you do that? Here's how you do it. You're enveloped with the darkness. Enveloped with the darkness. Enshrouded with the darkness. Are y'all listening now? All right, so look back at verse number 4. Look back at verse number 4, same chapter, look at verse number 4. Now, and I can't quote it just outright, but maybe read for me.
Yeah.
All right, that's good, that's all I need. All right, so here's what God said. And he spared not them, the angels of sin, spared them not, but cast them down to hell. Now listen now, and delivered them into chains of darkness. Are you listening now? All right, so let me give you an application here. Has anybody ever been to the Lost Sea over in Athens, Tennessee? All right, so if your experience is like mine, here's what they did. So they're taking you down. They're giving you this, you know, this tour, and they're explaining to you, see over there, that's where the Indians live. That's where the Indians burnt their fire. That's where they came down, blah, 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 blah. And they bring you all the way down the bottom. They put you in a boat. And they call it the Lost Sea. But it ain't a sea. It's a big pond. Come here now. Come here. Listen to me now. So they put you, they put all of us all this in a boat. And so they troll her, whatever they do, and they get us out there in the middle of that outfit. And then they take the fish food, they throw it out there, and fish is coming up from everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're just making the water roll with all those fish. And then they do this traumatic thing. They turn the lights out. Are y'all hearing me now? I mean, they tell you're going to do it. They turn the lights out, and you're in this boat in the middle of the water, and you can't see your finger. You, matter of fact, you wouldn't even know it was there. It didn't touch your nose. It was so dark. Question for you. Are you delivered into chains of darkness? No, sir. All right, why don't you get up then and get out of here? Why don't you get up and say, I'm going ashore? Go ahead. Light's still off. Go ahead. I'll get this boat to shore. Go ahead. What are you going to run into? You know what? You are as chained as if there was chains around your legs and feet. You are in chains. You know why? You don't know what to do. You can't get out of what you're in. Is that not what chains are for? To keep you from getting out of what you're in? And God said, here it is now. Chains of darkness. Right, now let me move on. And let me give you this. I'm preaching too long. All right, so let me give you some illustrations, and I'll try to bring it to close. All right, so is my idea of this darkness, is it really a taste of forever to them that don't know God? All right, let's see if it is. All right, let's run our mind back. Let's go back to Exodus. All right, so God's bringing the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, right? Right? All right? So one of those judgments is this. God said, I'm going to send the darkness on the Egyptians, and said, but my people over the land of Goshen, they're going to have light. But those other folks, they're not going to have, that's going to be darkness. Are y'all hearing that now? So did God do that? Yes, God did. God cut the lights out for 3 days on them. They, as a matter of fact, let me tell you how intense it was. God said, it's a darkness that you can feel. Yeah. Yeah. You can almost touch it. It's so bad.
Right.
Pharaoh said, who is this Lord God that I should believe him? Who is this Lord God that I should let the children of Israel go? God said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you a taste of forever. You better hear that. God put the lights out for them for 3 days. Are y'all hearing me now? Now listen, a few months later, the children of Israel have crossed that Red Sea. They're on the other side. Praise God. And the Egyptians forgot about that taste of forever. They forgot about the taste of forever. And they said, let's go get them. Let's go get them. And they went, neighbor, they no doubt, I send the whips out on their chariot, and away they went in the middle of the sea. And God took their chariot wheels off. And God said to Moses, raise your rod. And the water, dead bodies all over the shore. Dead bodies everywhere. And souls in hell. Do you know why? God gave them a taste of forever. But they wouldn't do anything about it. Let me give you another one. Let's run back to Genesis 19 a second. So the angel of the Lord and two other angels now appeared to Abraham. And so they gave the word that Sarah's going to bear a child, blah, blah, blah. And so God said to Abraham, said, shall I hide from you that which I'm going to do? And he said, the cry of Solomon's come up before me. And so he sent those angels over to Solomon. Remember that? Y'all remember that? So Lot took them in. He took them in his house because he knew the vileness that awaited on those men that night, those angels. Listen to me now. Late that night, bam, 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 bam. Hey, Lot, send those two men out here that we might know them. Angels. They wanted a homosexual affair with angels. And the angels pulled Lot in and smote him with blindness. I want you to listen, Brother Wells. I want you to listen a minute. I don't know how long they were smitten with blindness. Let me tell you what they did. They're there trying to get those angels into an illicit affair. And God smote them with blindness. He said, look, I'm going to give you a taste of forever. Are you sure you want to follow through? And the Bible said, with blinded eyes, they wearied themselves to find the door. Where's that door? Where's that door? Where's that door? You know why? The lust was so great in their heart. Even God smote them with blindness. They wouldn't turn loose of that lust in their heart. Are y'all hearing me today? Here's what that tells me clear. You better hear this well, buddy. See, the Bible says, one of those verses I read said, of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Are y'all hearing that? Brother West, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. But you can't leave the internet alone. You can't leave social media alone. You can't leave dirty thinking alone. You can't leave dirty talk alone. You know why? From whom a person is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. Those men were in bondage, and God gave them a taste of forever, but they couldn't get away from their lust. When you die in your sin, And you plunge in the depths of hell after God's given you a taste of forever. Forever. You'll be trying to satisfy that lust. You'll be trying to satisfy that wickedness that's in your heart and in your soul. Just like Pilate is forever washing his hands. Get this blood off me. Get this blood off my hands. Forever and ever and ever and ever. So what about this one? There he hangs on the cross. There he is. The sacrifice for your sins and the sacrifice for mine. Oh, yes. God's taken his darling son. Matter of fact, I love what Abraham said. My son, God will provide himself. I love that. Oh, I love that. I love that. And there on that cross, God has provided himself in the person of his son, the sacrifice for our sins. Are you hearing me now? At 9 o'clock, Jesus is put on the cross. That's it. The third hour. At the sixth hour, there came a darkness over all the land. I mean, God cut the lights out. What was God doing? He was giving the world a taste of forever. A taste of what it meant to be without God forever. Can I say this? We have no way of knowing. But on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the Word of God, some of those same people may have very well got saved. Maybe they said, I don't want to be enslaved in darkness forever and ever and ever. Oh my, I'd like to preach on, but I can't. I can't preach on, but let me tell you this now. On that cross of Calvary where Jesus died, he is bearing your sins. And I'm telling you, every single thought in your mind that's wicked is enough to send you to hell without God forever. Forever! And on that cross, Jesus is taking the punishment, every single one of those sins. Why? Why? Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. God said, this is what I'm doing this for. So I can take you out of that darkness. I can take you out of that light. And I can prepare you and get you ready for a city that has light that don't even have a sun and don't have a moon. But the Son of God is the light thereof. Are y'all here? He said, that's where we're going to take you. But if by chance, what the book said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Child, if that's what you want, that's what I'll give you. I will not force you to believe in the light. I will not force you to trust the light. If that's what you want, that's what I'll forgive you. That's what I'll give you. Y'all listen, Brother Wells. I'll give you one more verse. Just in case that might be you, that you love your darkness and you don't want to give up your darkness for the Son of God, you just remember, God will let you have it. But I'm going to tell you where you're going to come to. Are you listening? Lest there be any fornicator and profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat, I've got to put it this way, one morsel of darkness sold his birthright. For you know how that after, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance. I want to give you that. If God's speaking to you, you better not kiss God off like he's just some little thing you can deal with in time. See, tonight might be the night. I'm not God, so I can't say. But tonight might be the night that God has pleaded with some of y'all and pleaded with some of y'all and pleaded with some of y'all and begged you and begged you and pleaded you and begged you and pleaded you and begged you and pleaded you. And your heart is getting so hard, you're going to make your choice. Y'all can have that fuddy-duddy stuff. I want my F-U-N. I want my fun. If you're trading light for darkness, you're not headed for fun. You're not headed for fun. You're headed for destruction. I mean, terrible destruction. But you know what's the sad part, Miss Millie? Somewhere out yonder, there'll be a day coming. I want to get right with God. 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 And God may well say, I remember that night you said you don't want me. And you want your darkness. And you want your sin. And he might say to you like the prophet said to the heathen of old, let your God save you now. Let your God of darkness save you and get you out of your trouble now. You know, I'm not God. I want to tell you, God's speaking to people in this place tonight, buddy. God's talking to people. And I'm going to tell you, you better be careful. If a God of glory is singling you out and talking, you better understand how fortunate you are. 8 billion people in this world. 8 billion people in this world. And the God of heaven chose to put his finger on your heart tonight. You don't understand how privileged you are that God would somehow single you out and offer to you eternal life, eternal salvation, get you out of darkness in the light of his Son. Don't turn him away now. Don't turn him away. Let's pray. I'm done. Oh, precious Jesus. Father, I pray you'd give your invitation. What I've given, all I know to give. I've said all I know to say. I ask you, precious Father, if there's a single soul that you've zeroed in on tonight, and Lord, you're talking to them and talking to them. Please, precious Savior, let the Holy Ghost convince them tonight that they need you. Father, help us that are saved by God's grace to cry out with all of our heart for the Holy Spirit to work and move. Lord, let Jesus work in this place. And we'll thank you and honor you. Lord, need you now. Cannot do anything without you. We desperately need the Son of God to work. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.